All right, we have a special chapel this morning. We're still going to have a worship time together. We're going to have a devotional thought toward the end. I'm going to share with you two announcements as we get started, and then we'll turn things over to Ryan and Day-Day, and they'll lead us in worship. The first announcement is very simple. Breakfast in the Courtyard coming on March 9th. So if you like breakfast, you'll love this, 8:30 to 10:30. Housing and Student Services Office teams are cooking up free breakfast. So stop by during break and have a bite. Just another way for them to show you how much they love you and appreciate you. And so come by on March 9th, 8:30 to 10:30. And then secondly, we have The Gathering. This is a recurring event. Our first time to have this event is March 13th. Horner Hall, 6:30 p.m. Come down for worship, prayer, have dinner on us, and hear from our guest speaker, Joel Martinez, who is the worship pastor at FBC Kaufman. And so going to lead us in worship and give us a word that night. And if you need it, you can get a chapel credit if you'll come to The Gathering. So you can come to The Gathering and get that chapel credit that like I say, this is week 7. You may be to the point where you need a little chapel credit. If that's the case, I know that's none of you here, but if it were, you could get chapel credit for The Gathering. So those are all the announcements. Let's turn it over to Ryan and let's worship this morning. Would you please stand with us?
Good morning. Today is Super Tuesday. Yeah, all right. It's super in different ways. And this morning, I have four things that I need to do before Dr. Brown gets up to give us a presentation. This morning, I'm not wearing the hat of Vice President of Academic Affairs. I'm wearing another hat of mine here at the college, which is liaison for our accreditation committee and accreditation agency. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Just two points before, one point, and then I'll bring the other one up in my talk. I know some of you are praying very hard for the Lord's return, like before midterms, which is an appropriate prayer, right? Always, the prayers always ramp up before midterms and finals for Christ to return and whisk us away. I'm simply asking this, would you just do the timing and actually ask for that to happen after Thursday? Because we have worked really, really, really hard for this visit. And I mean, it's going to be great, but I would like going out on that note. So just pray sometime between Friday and when your first midterm is. Just kind of dial in your prayers. Four points that I want to bring up this morning before Dr. Brown gets up. First, just talk about what is accreditation. It's a technical term we don't talk often about, but we need to talk about it today. And if you will give me the next slide, please. Great, and leave that one up for a few moments. Thank you. So first, what is accreditation? Number two, why is it important to you all? Number three, is it really necessary? And then fourth, just how Dr. Brown's presentation fits into accreditation. That's the four things I need to do. So first, what is accreditation? Very simply, it's this. It's to make sure that we as a college are doing what needs to be done as a college in a way that is appropriate for any college or university in the United States. That's it. It's just making sure that every facet of what we do as a college, and when I say every facet, you don't understand until you're all here all day Saturday. Amen, Vivian? I don't know where Vivian is. And Bethany, copying thousands of pages of documents, going from fire extinguishers to carpeting to paint to how we process financial aid to how we choose curriculum to do we have appropriate qualifications and credentials for staff and administrators and trustees. When I say everything, I mean everything. That's what accreditation is. It's just making sure that we have everything in place to ensure that the education you're getting truly is a college-level, university-level education. And the accreditation process we're going through is the exact same process that a school goes through the size of University of Texas or SMU, all the way down to Criswell, and I'm sure there are some schools smaller than us, though I don't know which ones they are, but anyway, they're out there. As a matter of fact, actually, I do. There's another school that is going through accreditation this month with us, Dallas International University, just down off 20, and they're smaller than us. They have to go through this same process. So that's what accreditation is. It's just making sure we are at those standards of providing an education that meets the standards of education, higher education in the United States. And what happens is, so we were accredited in 1979, and then in 1985, all of our programs were accredited for the first time. We are an accredited institution. And every 10 years, we simply have to lift the hood and let them look under the hood and behind the seats and in the seat cushions to make sure that we're still meeting those standards that we say we did back in 1979, 1985, and have continually since then. And that's what we're doing right now. We are at that point where we are at that 10-year mark, and they are doing this very comprehensive look at all of our operations. And that's a very long process. So this is the culmination this week. So right now, across the street, as we meet, there are 10 individuals meeting at the Element Hotel who are our committee, who will be over here starting this afternoon. And they're going to be looking at all of these areas of the college. Now, we've already shown them material to say this is what we do. They're just here to make sure that we were accurate in what we said we were going to do. Let me give you an analogy that just struck me this morning. So if you've ever been through any sort of inspection or an accreditation for any sort of hospital, that's the sort of thing we're going through. But I like this analogy better. I've never been to one of these, but probably some of you have, and I pass them on weekends. I'll pass some parking lot full of absolutely gorgeous cars and vehicles and trucks. You know what I mean? Really beautiful. Paint is beautiful. They've taken time and money and effort to make those cars and automobiles look fantastic. And you drive by and they all have their hoods up. And people just are coming to admire what effort has been put into making these vehicles and cars, automobiles, trucks look the way they do. That's what this is. I can already tell you from the feedback we've just already been getting, they are thrilled to be here to be seeing how we do things at Criswell College. The 10 individuals who are here, 9 of them are actually people who work at colleges across the southern United States, so they are our peers. And so they're here. I know that some of them have already had their cameras out taking pictures of things we do here so that they can take them back to their schools and do them. So that's part of what goes on this week. That's what accreditation is. Second, why is it important to you? I'm just going to quickly tell you, especially for you students, why is it important to you? Let me just give you 3 reasons. Number one, because it makes the credit you receive here easier to transfer or for other schools to recognize if you go on to further work, graduate work, doctoral work. If you have a degree from an accredited institution, it means something. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it means something. And it certainly makes it easier for you to get into schools, as our graduates do all the time, because you have a degree from an accredited school. Why? Because those schools know that because we've gone through this process, they can take us at our word when we show a transcript of yours and it has grades and credit hours and that you're a graduate. So that's one reason it's important for you. Second reason that's important has to do with money. If you take any sort of federal financial aid or involved in any federal financial programs, then we have to be accredited in order to participate in those programs. And so that's important for you from a financial aid perspective if you are using those resources. And third is that there are some jobs, some occupations that require that you have a degree from an accredited institution. And so as you go to get a job, it may be that you would run into a situation where it will help you get the job because you have a degree from an accredited institution. The fourth reason is really just a more general one, and it's just because it shows and it keeps us accountable to show that we are a school that does things at the level of expectations that all schools do it. So it just makes the education you're receiving better. What accreditation is, why it's important, and is this really necessary? I mean, really. Every 10 years, they do this long process. They come on campus. In between those 10 years, we also have to send away documents. So it's actually every 5 years, we have to demonstrate that we not only have a mission, but that we are doing what needs to be done to carry out this mission. That's what we're doing. We're demonstrating that. So is it really necessary to fly in 10 people from across the southern United States, and we have one from Wisconsin. I'll talk about her in just a moment. Fly in all these folks, put them up at the hotel, take them out to dinner, go through all the, print off the Amazon rainforest and documents. Oh, broke my heart. But anyway, is it necessary? Let me show you why it's necessary. If you'll go back to that previous slide, gentlemen. Thank you. So just 2 weeks ago in USA Today, this article was published about a school, a university in South Dakota that has no faculty and no students, but they're accredited. You're like, no. Yep. Would you believe that one of the standards we have to demonstrate is that we actually have students? You read that, you're like, you're kidding me. We got to actually show we have students, that we have faculty that are qualified. Yeah, because of things like this, they need to show up and just make sure that we have a campus, that we have people in positions that we say we have people in positions to do the work that needs to be done. So it's absolutely necessary, even for as much as a headache as it can be for some who are involved with the process leading up to this time, it is necessary. It's an important part of what we do. I underline that last paragraph. It's just it's something that geeks like me who deal with accreditation love to see every once in a while in print, which is that for as dry as accreditation is, and for as much as you are going to be thankful that you're not going to hear the word accreditation in a chapel service maybe for another 5 years, that we need to talk about it, because even though it is under the surface all the time, it is important for what we do as a college, and you just need to be aware of this. All right? So, what accreditation is, why it's important, why we really have to go through it, and then fourth, how Dr. Brown and her presentation fits into accreditation. So all the standards that we had to show evidence of, all of those points that shows that we're doing the work of higher education, all but one of those standards, one part of one of those standards, has to do with things as we've been doing them in the past to the present. But there is one part of one standard that says, not only, Criswell College, do you need to be good at what you're doing now, but we need to make sure that you're looking toward the future and are doing things that are good for the future, that you are intentional about how you're improving your education for students in the future. If you'll give me that last slide, gentlemen. That is called the Quality Enhancement Plan, the QEP. You may hear the word QEP. Everyone just uses that, those three letters. I put the whole title up there because today, when you hear the word Q, you probably will think the word quarantine. But no, not quarantine, quality. We want to improve the quality of the programs that we offer here at the college. And so every 10 years, every college and university has to come up with, out of their strategic planning, they have to decide what would be most valuable for our students to help ensure their success at the school, to ensure that they are learning in a way that is better than they did, that the college offered in the past. And so that's what Dr. Brown will be presenting on. Dr. Brown has been the chair and is the chair of our QEP committee. And she's been working with a team of folks for some time now to develop a QEP. If you've been seeing these posters around, maybe you've been seeing the miniature version of the posters floating around, this is our QEP. And I would just say this about the presentation, just one thing before Dr. Brown gets up, and it's this. As the committee is here today, and they're floating around and talking to you, and when I say you, I mean if you hear my voice, you. You are fair game for the committee. They have the right to stop anyone on our campus, ask what your role is here, and then ask you questions about your experience. And one of the questions that they will ask is, tell us about what your QEP is. And so that's why it's important for you to hear from Dr. Brown what the QEP is. It's also important for you to know that the posters we have placed around campus are strategically placed so that if you forget, you can take the person to it and explain to them in your own words what you hear this morning from the poster. Right? And so that's what the QEP is. And Dr. Brown is going to take some time now and share with us some more detail about the Quality Enhancement Plan.
He had me muted. Yes, now I'm talking. My students know that I don't stand in one place unless I'm on my stool, and they didn't bring my stool. So I will be wandering. Just to kind of give you a little bit of heads up before I start clicking away, and I promise, I have 10 slides, but we're going to go through them quickly. And that is, number one is, everything we do here is for y'all. We killed the rainforest for y'all. We started 2 years ago, on a quality enhancement plan for you and for students who come after you. It has been a huge honor to chair this committee. And if you've been on the Quality Enhancement Plan Committee, would you please stand? Yes, thank you. And so we've had students on the committee, we've had alumni on the committee, we've had professors, we've had clerical, we've had admissions, and everybody. You know the one person who hasn't been on the committee? Dr. Creamer. Dr. Creamer hasn't been on this committee, and that was on purpose. It was on purpose. Because one of the things that our accrediting agency looks for when we present to them this afternoon our quality enhancement plan, first off, is did we have broad-based support? Do we have lots of different voices? And number two, was it our idea and not the president's? That he didn't sit on his throne and say, this is what you shall do. Go and do. No. And it has been a messy process. We started 2 years ago. We had all kinds of ideas. We had to read books. Ugh. We had to read research that stacks up about this big. We used butcher paper and put ideas down, and we've argued about ideas nicely. We have discussed. We have not argued. We discussed ideas. And finally, after a year, we came on with this idea. And by the way, we just got a name for it about a month ago because we couldn't come up with a good name. It had just the right name. Those of you who have been in Spiritual Foundations this year, raise your hand. Yeah. I want to thank you. You have been our guinea pigs, and you've been wonderful about it. Because we thought, we want to do something that helps our students learn not just academics, but spiritual. And how do we do that? How do we stay true to who Criswell College is? And so, those of you that have been in Spiritual Foundations, we're going to see at the end if you can figure out which part of the graduate profile this supports. Why we picked this name. It has a meaning. It connects to our graduate profile. So we are sowing seeds for success. And we knew that when we started, and we're going to see how many of y'all know about farming and gardening. We started with fallow ground. Anybody know what fallow ground is? No? Hard. Yeah. Hard. Untilled. Unfertilized. It's ground. We want to grow something, but it's not fit for growing anything. And that's kind of how we started. We knew the transition to college life is hard. It's not just y'all. It's when I went to college 100 years ago, it was scary. It was scary in the 70s. It was scary in the 80s. It's scary in the 2020s. It's scary. It's that first step into being an adult. A lot of you have left your home, mommy and daddy, and now you're making all these decisions. College is scary. And oh my goodness, all this money. What if I don't do well? What if I don't get my degree? And I've spent all this money and I have all this debt. Oh no, now what? So college life is difficult. And we have, here at Criswell College, no formal way of helping transition our students from what was high school life, pre-college life, the adult world, and now I want to go back to school life, and get you transitioned into what college life is like. And so we had a huge gap. Therefore, our attrition rate for our freshmen is 37%. Out of every 10 freshmen that walk through our door, almost 4 of them won't be back for their sophomore year. That's awful that we are not doing a better job of helping you be successful and to see yourself here being successful. So this is what we did. We started tilling that soil. Said, okay, how can we help our students to grow? So we took a whole year. And this is all part of what Dr. Graham was talking about. There's a strategic planning. There's all kinds of things that go on behind the scenes that create Criswell College for you. How the classes are put together, the schedule, what the classes look like, who the professors are, all kinds of stuff. And so we have this strategic planning cycle every 5 years. In fact, we're back in it again. We're going to be up here on the Friday of spring break. Don't you feel badly? We're going to have another meeting about the strategic planning because we're planning for the next 5 years. Okay? And we had all sorts of different people on our committee. We had all kinds of ideas. And so here's our final decision, finally after a year. And it's the new undergraduate student seminar course. And before my juniors and seniors start to hyperventilate, this is, you don't have to go back and take a new course, okay? This is for the future. This is going to launch in 2020 fall semester. Those of you who have taken Spiritual Foundations already, you're good. Those of you who are back, yeah! Yay! You don't have to pay for an extra course. No, this is for the fall, okay? And so, although it wouldn't hurt you, yeah, those kind of things. All right, so we tilled the soil, and this was our idea. But still, it's like, okay, we're going to have a course. Well, what does that look like? So we wanted to pick the very best practices that we could. We've been to seminars. We've done all kinds of research. If it doesn't count for credit, students don't take it seriously, and neither do the professors. Just have news for you. So it's going to be a 3-credit course. And it's going to merge academics with theological. Those of you that have already taken it or are taking it right now, you kind of have gotten a taste of what that looks like. That you've got this kind of merge, dovetail kind of course where you're learning about a strategy to help you to be a better student. And at the same time, you're learning about the theological aspects of why be that? Why care about your work? You know, what is God's view of what you're doing here? It's going to be required for all of our new undergraduates who come. And yes, just in case somebody asks you, like the committee, even transfer students. And one of the reasons that we've made that decision is because Criswell is unique. And if you're going to be successful at Criswell, you need to know how to be successful at Criswell. You need to know where the library is and how to use our library. But you also need to know doctrine and why you need to learn it first thing out the gate, because there is a reason you need to memorize Colossians. Uh-huh. Because you're going to need those skills. You're going to need that information as other courses come across your path. And so all new students are going to take it, and they're going to take it within their first 2 semesters here. Now, We got lots of feedback on this decision. Hate to tell y'all, but in the fall, we're going to 2-day-a-week classes anyway. Yes, that was chosen on purpose, 8 o'clock in the morning. For one thing, so many of you were coming out of high school, I tend to think you had to be at school by 8 o'clock in the morning. And we made it 2 days a week instead of the 1 day a week. Only a little bit over an hour, and then you had comp afterwards, as opposed to having a 2.5-hour course. Because freshmen tend to need a little more accountability. Get in the groove, what this is like. Having to have assignments due, and not having a professor or somebody else running behind you and saying, hey, have you done your homework? Did you do your homework? We also chose to do two fabulous professors. And they team taught. And so you had Dr. Campbell one day, and then you flipped, and on the other day you would have Dr. Graham. And some of you had Dr. Graham first, and then you had Dr. Campbell. And so we are looking at continuing that model. And just to let you know, the two professors worked very hard over last summer putting that all together, deconstructing spiritual foundations to create this new course, and how those two components, the academic and the theological, were going to work together. So then in the fall, those of you that are here, we sowed our first seeds. And so we modified the existing course. We picked spiritual foundations. It is a very, very different course now. And in fact, those of you that are juniors or seniors, it is a new course. It's not just spiritual foundations with a little bit of academic put in it. It is a new configuration of that course. So it is new. If somebody says, okay, so what are y'all doing? Well, they took this old course and they kind of changed it a little bit. No. Totally reworked. It's been totally reworked. Somebody who took spiritual foundations 2 years ago, if they sat in your class this past fall, it would have been very different. Very different. Okay. We had 40 students, two sections. We modified the scheduling, and we had our two professors. And no, I'm not going to show you the syllabus. That's for this afternoon. I have to do this all over again this afternoon when the committee comes on campus. So once again, thank you for being my guinea pigs. Oh, by the way, I'm just going to kind of go over here on a little rabbit trail. Y'all are not the only ones that get nervous getting up in front of people speaking, even though I've been doing this for years. I had the nightmare last night. I have never had the nightmare. I woke up at 2 o'clock panting because I had been late down here. We couldn't find the mic. The PowerPoint wasn't working. The one saving thing was, to my knowledge of my dream, I did still have my clothes on. But it was like, oh my word, I do not believe I'm having the nightmare. So I can check that off my bucket list. Now, we didn't just stop with y'all doing the class and we said, oh good, whew, finish with that. No, we had all of y'all go through that time where you had your manila paper and you gave us all kinds of feedback. And we took that feedback. That wasn't just a wasted exercise, a wasted morning. And so we took your feedback, and the course for the spring is even more polished. It's even more different. And so now we have a second rendition. So we went sowing in the spring. And this is the course that's happening right now. We've got 20 students in it. So there's only one section. And it meets one night a week for the 2.5 hours. It is the last class of the week on Thursday night. So those of you that are in the class this semester, you can do this. You can do this. And Dr. Graham is the one professor. We are still gathering all kinds of data, though, to see how this is working. So this is why we're doing it. We're looking for a harvest. And that's y'all. Okay. And what does that look like? We have two major learning outcomes. Student learning outcomes. These are our goals, that when y'all finish with the course, this is what is happening. Students will recognize various ways in which Christian theology is drawn from Scripture and will articulate the central Christian doctrines. So those of you that took it in the fall, you can think about that. Like, did I really do that? Maybe I did. I'm not sure. The other one is students will identify academic success strategies in order to overcome roadblocks to their collegiate success. I have a feeling some of you did that. I'm hearing from the spring group, there's some feedback going on that some of them are going, oh, I wish I'd had this course last fall. This information would have really helped me. I would have gotten better grades. So we'll see. But those are goals. Those are your learning outcomes. That's what we're going to be gathering data on. And so, those of you that are taking the course this spring, you had to do a pretest. And then we're going to do a post-test. And we're going to gather some other data as we're moving along. We're going to have course evaluations. Just so you don't feel slighted, those of you that are in the spring section, I will be coming and you will be getting manila paper too, not just the fall group. So I'll be coming and visiting you one night close to the end of the semester to get your feedback. So this is what our future looks like. This is what we're looking toward. We have committed as an institution to at least 5 years with this program. The last QEP was the Writing Center 10 years ago. And we now have its own fancy room and all kinds of new furniture upstairs and a purple wall. I am so jealous. I want a purple wall. And it's become more than just a writing center. It's now considered a tutoring center. And I see students in there all the time. Does my heart good. And we're hoping to have at least that much success with this program, if not even more. We'll see. That it really, really helps y'all to be the very best students you can be because God has put you here with such an amazing purpose. Y'all are going to go places a lot of us can only dream of. I have former students who are in Singapore teaching. They've been in Saudi teaching. They're in Chile teaching. And I'm going, I can hardly wait until my students from here are graduating and going off. I have one. And she's in a DISD elementary school teaching fifth grade math and ESL. And so we're going to see what Mrs. Spencer does when she walks across the stage in the spring. All right, so we've got a 5-year budget. And we're looking as that building across the street keeps going up. We're looking for increased enrollment. And you'll be hearing a lot more about this in the coming months and weeks, too. And that is the Criswell 360. And the Criswell 360 is the Common Student Experience, which is also set to launch in the fall. It's already sort of is. But that's not my little ball of wax. So that's our future. And I finished on time. As you leave today, because I'm waiting, making sure Rob doesn't turn me off yet. As you leave today, not everybody gets a little poster to carry around with them, a cheat sheet. But I'm going to be at the back. And those of you that go, okay, I'm not sure I really understood everything she said, and if somebody from the team pulls me aside and said, hey, can you come over here and talk to us about what the QEP is and the sowing seeds for success, and I'm going, oh, I'm not sure. As you leave, we have seeds. We have bluebonnet seeds. Yesterday was Texas Independence Day. And so, yeah, see, you came to chapel and learned something. And so you have bluebonnet seeds, but guess what? On the back of the bluebonnet seeds is our poster. With our logo. Somebody was very impressed. It even has our logo on it. And so you can just kind of put this in a book. You can put it in your pocket. You can put it strategically on your backpack, whatever you want to do. But you have what the QEP, the main 4 points are. It's a three-hour course. It's required of all students, that it's going to blend these two aspects. And I've gone blind. I don't have my glasses on. One other. Right? See, even I need the cheat sheet sometimes. And so as you're leaving, I have about 80 of these. And so I'm going to be handing them out as you go. Okay, so if you think you need something, here it is. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Graham, and Rob can turn me off so I don't interfere with him.
Thank you. All right. So there are a lot of places in Scripture that I could go to close us this morning just to draw our attention to the Word, from whether it's talking about just hospitality and being an encouraging and hospitable face to our guests, I've chosen to play on the metaphor that we've chosen for our QEP. So if you'll turn to Mark chapter 4 for just a few moments, and this really is going to be a devotional. Let me just say two things before I talk about what I want to point out in Mark chapter 4. The first thing is that I don't know how you were feeling, Dr. Campbell, but it really surprised me that of the whole morning, the most excited the students got was when they found out they don't have to take spiritual foundations again.
I would say shameful.
Shameful. He's using the word shameful. I don't know. I was a bit more excited. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if for our next QEP, we put something at the tail end, like senior year, and they have to memorize, let's say, the book of Ecclesiastes. Yeah. All right. Bring it. All right. Don't toy with us. We have our ways. Let me just say one other word about another business, a point of business, and that is, just so what if you meet a committee member today? What if they do stop you and ask questions? And I just want to just give a word. If you're faculty or staff, you've already heard these points, so it's a reminder for you. But for students, just this. First of all, be friendly, hospitable, and kind to them. They are not our enemies. We are glad they are here to do the work that they are doing. So please, be friendly to them. And just know they can ask any question about college operations that they want, anything of you, as it relates to your experience as a student. And I would say in your response, be factual based on your experience and knowledge, not on what you heard through the grapevine, not what you think you heard from someone else, but answer with your perspective. That's why they've stopped you. It's because they want your perspective. And be factual. Answer their question and then be nice and kind to them and treat them as our guests. So that's it. That's the only coaching you get. That's it. Besides knowing a little bit more about the QEP than you did when you walked in.
What if they're asked a question they don't know the answer to?
Thank you for asking that question, Dr. Creamer. So it's quite appropriate. They're not taking down your name. You're not going to show up on any report. You're not going to, student XYZ did not know the QEP. No. If you don't know, just be honest and say that you don't know, but that you think that this person would be the right person to ask. If you're comfortable, say, I know where that person's office is. Can I take you there? And we'll ask them. And appropriate people would be me, any of the vice presidents on the first floor, anyone that you've worked with who's a staff or faculty member that you think could help get that person to the right place would be the right answer. But there is absolutely no shame in saying you don't know, especially if they ask about an experience and you just haven't experienced it. Have you ever had to file a student complaint and you just never have? Just tell them, well, I've never filed one. Now, don't go into the person you think you've heard filed one last year. You don't know. You weren't there. Just say, I've never had to file one, but here's the process, or I think the process would involve student services. Let me take you to their office. So, does that answer your question?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Dr. Creamer. Mark chapter 4, and I've chosen for my very small devotional a very small parable, beginning in verse 30. And it's appropriate for us. It really is. It's appropriate for us this morning as we think about the QEP, Sowing Seeds for Success. It's appropriate for us as a school of diminutive size, meaning small. Verse 30 of Mark chapter 4, and Jesus said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are sown upon the soil, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." And the principle that Jesus is drawing on here is a principle that those of you who've planted anything, even if you haven't planted something since you were in elementary school and you took a pinto bean or some sort of bean and put it in, or took an avocado seed and put it in water, and you just saw what magnificent things come from a seed. And Jesus draws upon this principle that we all know, that it's not the size of the seed that matters, it's what is produced when it is properly grown and cultivated. And that's an appropriate word and encouragement for us. It's an encouragement word for us as a school, that we are small, but both in the past and looking into the future, the impact that we have and our graduates have in our community and around the world is fantastic. It's fantastic. Oh my goodness, you all don't, you need to get that bird's eye view and just see how many wonderful things are going on through our students and alumni. So that's a good word for us. It's a good word for our QEP, because what we want is we want to multiply the number of seeds that are growing, right? I mean, if we were to take this parable, what we're saying is this: 4 of every 10 freshmen are not sprouting and producing this, and we want 10 out of 10 of students who enter Criswell to graduate and then to go on and bear fruit like it's spoken of here. And that's appropriate for us. It's a wonderful thing for us to aspire to. I just want to draw your attention to one other matter in Mark here. And I have a full sermon that I have presented here in chapel on this at least once. And I won't present the whole chapel, the whole message, but I think it's worth drawing attention to. I believe that Jesus, after he gives this parable, then enacts this parable. In other words, he demonstrates what he's just taught. And he does that in the very next chapter, chapter 5, in which he crosses the sea and he meets the Gerasene demoniac. Okay? And he finds this man who is an outcast, why? Because they don't know what to do with him. So they put him where dead people are. He's unclean. He's full of demons calls itself Legion because of its strength. And Jesus takes this man and ministers to this man in such a way that by the end of his encounter, so now I'm looking at Mark chapter 5, verse 15, 14 to 20, in which the man has this miraculous transformation, having been ministered to by Jesus. And pericope, at the end of that narrative, the man asks Jesus, "Let me go with you. Let me go with you." And Jesus says, "No. You go back and you tell what has been done for you." And for me, that is Jesus's way of showing what happens when you have a mustard seed of a person. Talk about someone. We're not picking this person to be on our board or our committee. I mean, this is someone who's got issues, and issues that just got dealt with yesterday, right? But here's the miracle for me. Flip over just to Mark chapter 7. Because I don't think the story ends there. I think Mark wants us to see what happens. After Jesus goes across, has this encounter with the Gerasene demoniac, tells the man, "No, you can't follow me, you stay here." Jesus goes back after that point, back and ministers in Israel. And at the very end of Mark 6, I took you to Mark 7 because we're going to just a few verses earlier than that. Mark chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus goes back to this area of the Decapolis, this Gentile area. And this time, you read in verse 53 that when he goes back, he's not greeted by just one person in a tomb. He's greeted by crowds of people who have heard the word about what Jesus can do. Yeah? We ask ourselves, so why? What's happened in these intervening chapters? Jesus has been here. He hasn't been over there. Who has been over here? As far as we know, there's only been one person over here getting the word out. That mustard seed of a man that Jesus left there to say, get the word out about what you've experienced. And I think it's a good word for us, folks, as we finish our day today, as we think about our place in the body of Christ as a school and individuals, the power that we have because Christ has chosen us and chooses to work through us. Yeah. Let's pray this morning. And so, Father, I give you thanks for all of your goodness to us, and that today you minister to us in so many ways. And give us wisdom as we move through today, those who are staff, who will be meeting with individuals on the committee and faculty, give them wisdom. I give you thanks for all of the work that is done by the staff and faculty here, the employees of the college. And Father, I pray for the students this morning that as they continue in the studies today in their classes, that your spirit would be at work so that they would grow into the cultivators, the peacemakers, the problem solvers, the leaders that you would have them be. We pray that for all of us. We love you, Father, in Christ, by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a good day.